This is what we do for our show.
And we are recording now.
All right, guys, welcome.
In development, was this 104?
I think so. We're so high up there in numbers, I'm starting to lose count.
We're doing good. We're doing good, and our numbers are strong.
Yeah, hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, by the way.
We've got a strong base. Last time I checked, we were at almost 100.
It's really flattering to think that, that someone's like, you know what? I might be bored or high enough to listen to these two ex-actors or current actors or whatever they think we are. Ramble on for an hour.
We're bored and high enough to do it.
Where we just always think, you know what, we're gonna get together. Like our intention is good about this show.
Yeah.
Adam came to me. I remember you came to me and you said
podcast.
You said, I wanna do a podcast, but I want it to be for actors. Like people like working actors and people who are looking for that kind of help and stuff. So, you know, for me I was like, oh hey, I definitely wanna do that because I remember coming up, you know, a lot coming up, if there really wasn't anyone that I had, and I wish I did have someone who could have shown me the ropes or like, helped me out a little bit along the way, give me some real true advice.
And that's what we're here for the internet.
But then every episode, I feel like we kind of talk about it for a second, and then we dive off into some crazy side story.
It all ties back together. I just worry that
we appreciate you guys tuning in for acting and bias?
I just wonder, like, if our stories scare people off. Like, God, that sounds terrible. I don't want to do that.
Oh, well, hey, if that happens, I hope you know I'm okay with that.
More jobs for us.
Well, no. It's, if that scares you off, hearing what it's really like,
then you really should
stop right now and not pursue it. Like, don't sit there and get mad at us because we say a real story of something that happened to us.
I had a friend a while back.
In the industry, you know? Sorry, it really is. It's tough out there.
I had this friend a while back who was going to do a pilot presentation for a reality series for the internet.
Jesus. Oh, wow.
Who was like, after he shot that, was like, I think I want to try being an actor. It seems like I might be able to make something in this. I was like, bitch, you did a pilot presentation. For a reality series for the internet.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry, buddy. I've had friends... I've had friends from high school...
Oh, yeah.
...call me. And, like, I think they're calling, you know, hitting me up to congratulate me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's awesome.
Hook me up with your agent.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. It really... It's really... I for real, phone calls. Hey, Jared, man. Dude, you're killing it out there, man. Every time I see you on TV, every time I turn on TV or film or commercials, you know, I'm seeing you everywhere. And I'm like, oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And the guy's like, man, if I would have known it was that easy, I would have come out there with you.
God, that hurts me.
And I'm just like, I have to take a second because there's no way to put a polite twist on that comment.
I don't even bother. I'm like, fuck you.
Well, again, you know, and I remember you and I having this conversation before, And I just think, I always open the door to my friends if they think or feel that way. You know, like, if they think it is that easy that you just show up to LA and they just start handing out money and union jobs, like, come on. I am willing to help them even. If my friend from back in the day is like, yo, I want to give it a shot. If you really mean that, I'll give you a hand. I will definitely help point you in the right direction and do what I can to help you out. But
every time
you got to see it for yourself, you know what I mean?
Every time I have a friend that's like, I think I can do it, I always immediately tell them, like, the worst shit. I tell them, like, some days you're not even going to want to get out of bed. You're going to wonder what you're doing with your life. And you're going to wake up and be in your mid-20s and be like, God, I hate my life. I always tell them the absolute worst shit. And then I'm like, if you think you can handle that, go ahead. Because it's going to be like that for a very long time.
I just always think if you need someone else to tell you to be an actor or not, the answer is probably no.
Yes.
Like, if it's not something that motivates you enough to go
to do it
get
on
it,
your own.
You know, or just to go and do it. Like, if you're sitting at home and you need someone else to tell you, or you're trying to get a sign from some outside source and you're in your late 20s, early 30s, you know, you blew it a little bit.
Now we can just show people this podcast.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, God.
But you know, again, the numbers are out there. Like I'm not making this shit up. Like,
yeah.
The union, our union, has the smallest part of employed actors or employed workers.
It's like what? Like,
in the 3%, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like definitely under 10.
Oh, buddy.
The people that are making
5% work and like 3%, only 3%
are making
their acting jobs fully sustain their lives or something like that. The top 1% is Cruise and, you know, all those boys.
Pull in a million every time they show up for a day and a half.
I mean, it's a very, like, that's a real number. And I knew that number when I came out here. You know, I hope you are quite prepared to endure a long ride. You know, it's definitely, the chips are not in your favor, for sure.
Not at all.
And it's just getting more and more expensive out here, man. This property
is going up. It really is. Like, even in my shitty part of Van Nuys, they're spiking the rent and spiking utilities and all
that
shit.
In Van Nuys!
Yeah, I mean, the only saving grace is that gas is down to, like, $2.80.
But yeah, that's good.
But still, it's like, with rent rising on a monthly basis for me, it's like, I don't even know why I
say that. So there really is a timetable to it as well, you know? It's not like you can just sit out here and leisurely take your time at this career. It's like,
no.
With rent being as much as it is, I just saw, I live out here in Encino, out in the valley. I saw a house in my neighborhood, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, $2,500 a month is what they're asking to rent this house for. A 2-bedroom, 1-bath house? $2,500. And it was under 800 square feet, man.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
That's barely bigger than my apartment at that point.
That's like 2 streets for me is what they're charging for rent at these homes. I mean, even if you split that in half, that's $1,250 you're paying to rent a room and share a bathroom.
Wouldn't
at $1,250 a month.
I would just go for an apartment at that point. That is not worth that money at all.
That's why it's so tough. It's like, I wish acting was popular in, like, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Like, why does it have to be popular in a place where everyone wants to be? I'd be down to put more of a struggle on this career. What if it was huge in Wyoming? Like, of course you want to come to L.A. Beautiful women everywhere.
Gonna
the
move
beaches,
out to Montana,
perfect
give
weather.
It a crack at acting.
Exactly. Like, how many actors would there be then? Then you'd have to really, really, really love it to say, you know what? I'm going to go move to Wyoming to pursue my acting career.
Or, like, even Phoenix. I lived out in Phoenix for a while.
That's
like,
right. I always forget you did that big chunk.
God, I know.
Come to God moments out there, boy.
But, like, Phoenix was dirt cheap.
The university?
Sorry, I was joking.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the online university, University of Phoenix.
They have a stadium, so I guess they're kind of legit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Though for a while, they were thinking about naming the University of Phoenix Stadium the Pink Taco, after the taco place.
Awesome.
And I would have loved that just so. I would have, like, heard the announcement. I don't give a fuck about football, but I would have gone to games at the Pink Taco just to hear the announcers be like, it's a little humid day here in the Pink Taco.
Welcome to Taco Tuesdays at the Pink Taco.
Ladies' night here at the Pink Taco.
Ladies' night.
Well, even then, like, if they move this shit to Phoenix, it's dirt cheap in Phoenix.
I mean, what about, like Reno, Nevada?
I would take Reno.
You would live there, right?
Totally.
Because it's acting. You would chase it to the ends of the earth.
This is the shit.
You go where the work goes, right? That's why, like, for me, that's why I'm here. Like, for me, you know, grew up in Florida, and I had that option after college. Yeah, and of course, I went to theater school, so I was really disappointed when I got out here. I'm joking.
I mean, this shit could be in bumfuck Egypt, and I'd still be like, all right,
like,
we're moving.
It was pretty much a choice for me at that time. It's like, if you want to pursue acting, you're going to have to go to New York or L.A.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand snow. I don't know how it works, but it looks miserable.
It is.
When I watch them at Lambeau Field out there playing football in the pouring snow or in New England, they don't look that happy.
That's like when I was in Chicago doing Shameless, and it was like 30 degrees.
Butt naked at 30 degrees?
I had pants on.
Oh, thank God. You're so lucky. You would have needed an ankle sock then. Oh,
totally. Not even that. I would have needed like a toddler sock. But I was the guy that was like...
Hold on a second. We can't find a sock small enough for Adam Cagley in this scene.
You know what? It's fine. His dick is totally gone at this point. Let's just leave him how he is.
He looks like Dr. Ken at this point.
I think it's poking out his ass now? Okay, he's fine. It's gone totally inverted. But like they had like hand warmers and extra layers to wear under my wardrobe in my trailer. And I was the dumbass that was like, nah. Like, my character's supposed to live here. I want to be used to the cold. So I sat outside the heater of my trailer after I got changed with no hand warmers and just sat there in like 30 degree cold. Love Chicago. Great city. Way too fucking cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same reason why, like, I won't relocate to Atlanta to try out their film scene. It's, like, way too fucking hot in Atlanta.
Man, I'm curious about Atlanta, man. Honestly.
You'd be doing a lot for Tyler Perry.
Hey.
He owns Atlanta.
That I am down for Tyler Perry, man. I think I'd be a great token white boy in one of those movies.
The 13th Madea movie.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Madea.
That'd be my line in the sand. I'd be like, I'll do anything, just not Tyler Perry.
Well, don't even bother coming down here, then.
You know, you just go back to L.A.
No way, dude.
Do your quality projects.
They're cranking out projects down there.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, it's like, you know...
And imagine your resume in Atlanta.
See, I would worry about that, because...
You would be a big shark. In a small pond down there.
I don't know. I feel like I'd be bottom totem pole because everyone out there has already built their careers out there. They know those casting people.
Right. But they don't have the credits you have and the experience and the training that you have.
True.
When you walked into the room, they would look at your resume and immediately go, oh, an LA actor?
Mm-hmm.
Top of the pile. Oh, a guy who's got a resume this long?
Yeah.
A demo reel this long?
That's a good point.
Because those guys, they're just now building demo reels.
True.
You know, a lot of those people are just now starting out. Like, a lot of these guys are just, like, finishing college. And like, oh, I guess I'll try the acting thing that's popping up around here.
That's the thing. Like, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, it was just New York or L.A.
Yeah, for me too.
If you were really ballsy, London.
Oh my God!
You wanted to go try doing theater in the West End and work.
Oh
on the BBC.
My God! But salute to you, by the way. Hats off to you if you chose London.
I thought like I would do it just to live in London. That's it. I would never get any work because why the fuck would they cast an American on the BBC?
I just doubted myself so hard for London. I'm like, man, that's gonna be like a masterful theater class over there,
totally.
The Shakespearean theater of like. People have been doing it for like 25 years.
Your
Ian
McKellen's and your Anthony Hopkins.
Here comes a kid from. I did a couple plays once.
I was in Rent.
Once upon a time, I did Romeo and Juliet. I think I was in sixth grade.
It's like when we were younger. Those were your only options. But now you can go Chicago or Atlanta. Now,
oh hey, you know what though? If you want to talk about, would you really sacrifice for this? What about New Orleans? New Orleans is the number one place for movies being shot.
I've heard that.
What would you think about New Orleans?
Do you think
you could relocate and live in New Orleans? Or what would it take for you to like say, I'm going to give it a year?
To be terribly honest, if I was going to relocate and try a different market, I would probably go Vancouver or Toronto first. Just because, like, so much of our shit is already shooting in Vancouver for some weird reason. And Toronto is slowly becoming the Hollywood of Canada.
Anyway. We just talked about all that snow.
Yeah, but it's Canada. I don't know. Something about Canada would make it better. And, I mean, you're not exactly in the tundra in Vancouver.
Have you been there?
Toronto, no.
I haven't either.
I want to.
And it actually is on my bucket list to do something that shoots there. And what's always been funny to me is I've met so many actors out here. Who would roll their eyes at booking these shows that shoot in Canada? And they're like, oh, I don't know. It shoots in Canada. And I'm like, dude.
So does Degrassi. Fuck
how
off.
Awesome is that?
Oh, yeah. Like, I watched last night the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead. Set in L.A. It's a show about the fucking zombie apocalypse starting in L.A.
Right.
They shoot it in Vancouver.
Right.
It's like, they're obviously doing it for the tax break, but it's like, they're substituting Vancouver for L.A., so it's like you can tell when the L.A. skyline is green screened in. You can tell, like, that doesn't look like part of L.A. Oh, because it's Vancouver, okay. This is like, all our shit goes up into Canada anyway.
Oh, are you trying to look at the big picture? I mean, USA outsources all their work.
True.
I mean, that's what we do. The nation is always looking for the cheapest way to get it done. And if it's Toronto, and if it's Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta too. Atlanta has a huge tax incentive. Maybe we need to look into how this tax incentive really works and understand it. And why don't we go shoot a low-budget film down there?
They've been trying to pass legislation here to give a better tax break to keep productions in California.
Right. Which is embarrassing to me that we have to go to that point
to pass bills to keep productions to stay in Hollywood.
I mean, these studios here create so many jobs, and all of these studios has giant, huge sound stages that are beautiful and have so much great history to them.
I mean, I get when you get a project every now and then, like a Star Wars that needs to go to Pinewood Studios in London for the giant sound stages.
Sure.
But it's like everything else. But
there's a lot of other things being shot outside of those films.
I'm saying you know, the stuff that absolutely needs a bigger soundstage than what they can get out here. But even then, like, I shot when I was a kid on a soundstage in Downey.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on a live action show for Cartoon Network. They were trying to do live action shit for a while, and they did like one or two shows, and neither of them really went very far. So they broke the idea off pretty early on. But I was doing an episode of this show, and it was giant soundstage that was divided by a hallway, and it was number whatever A, number whatever B. And every morning around like 10 a.m., we would have to hold because you could hear a helicopter landing next door, landing like right behind the stage. And I didn't know what it was for the first few days, and the stage across from us, across the hall from us, what they were shooting, they had chain link fences up all around the part that could be seen from the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and newspaper all over the chain link fences, so you couldn't see through the fence at all. And then one day, I'm sitting there, it's like probably the third day of the shoot, and we hear the helicopter landing, and the sound guy's like, "Hold for Spielberg." They were shooting the fourth Indiana Jones right next door to us.
Wow.
So it's like, even then, they can do that shit here, too. But I get if you have to go somewhere for a bigger stage. But then it always comes down to the tax incentive to leave.
Right. And I'm just appalled that we let this happen. Like, California is bankrupt. That's not something I'm making up. That's a fact.
Yeah.
California went bankrupt.
And
yet we have this giant billion-dollar industry known as entertainment
that goes other places,
and we are built for it.
Yeah,
but yet we allow these productions to leave. Why doesn't someone in California go, whoa, if Atlanta's gonna give this deal,
why can't we give a better one?
Then we'll offer something close to it, at least. I mean, you don't have to match it, because I'm sure it still costs a fortune to have to ship and fly and put up everyone, you know, the union first class flights and per diem and hotel stays. And like, I hear Johnny Depp for those Pirates movies, like, literally stays on like JFK's yacht out in the ocean.
Holy shit.
And like, his quarters is like a giant yacht, and that's what he lives. Like, that's gotta cost a production a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, they're working with Disney money at
to where
point.
If you just shoot here and you're like, hey, all y'all punks live here, drive your lazy asses in here.
when I was a kid out in the Antelope Valley where I grew up, it's nothing but just desert and little spats of buildings every now and then. A lot of people that live out there commute out here to do crew jobs and shit like that.
Right.
So for a while, there was a proposed idea of, like, why don't we build sound stages out here? get some studio to build a secondary lot all the way out here. Because even then, like, a lot of shit shoots on the... Like, we're talking about... You're talking about Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean. They shot the second and third ones, a few scenes in airplane hangars out in the Antelope Valley. So it's like a lot of people... We go back and forth between there anyway. They talked about building a whole secondary lot out there, you know, give so many more people jobs working at these back lots and shit, make the drive easier. I would have loved working 10 minutes from home. I mean, I do now anyway, but...
Nice.
They wouldn't do it. The mayor said that he didn't want those kinds of people in his town. Meaning the dirty, dirty actors, I suppose.
Ugh. You know what? That is quite the sacrifice, because they are dirty. They are right. Just dirty, dirty-ass actors out there.
Well, I mean, it's like Antelope Valley. All the towns that make up the Antelope Valley are like little tiny, like, get-her-done-hick towns, so they're not going to want them liberal Los Angeles folk coming down here and giving us the gay or whatever.
Don't be shoving your hippie propaganda
exactly.
down my throat.
Exactly. That's the mindset of that entire fucking town. I hated it. Ugh. I mean, I don't know if I'd be ballsy enough to try another market.
Yeah. You're very young, bro.
Yeah. I don't know. The prospect of moving somewhere, even if it's like, all right, I'm only going to do this for a few months, I would wonder, like, I wonder if being out here is making me miss out on stuff back at home that I could be working on. I could have missed the audition back at home that I could have booked when I'm auditioning here and not booking anything. I just don't think I'm ballsy enough for it.
I've been there, my man. I actually looked into this about a year ago, and I actually went to Atlanta for 8 days.
Wow.
And I went and looked at every apartment complex. I went and looked at houses to rent, looked at houses to buy, and I took a couple meetings with the agents down there, and I actually ended up signing with Atlanta.
Wow.
Atlanta Talent Agency down there, and I just said, hey, keep me in mind if anything big comes along.
Yeah, something worth going out there again
right,
for.
Right, because a lot of times they submit me for these jobs where, honest to God, it's Alvin and the Chipmunks, and they're looking for the role of the bartender. And they want to know...
Not relocating for
the
bartender.
They want to know if I'm going to put myself on tape.
Ugh.
Adam. For 3 lines in a movie where I play the bartender in a quick, no big deal scene. And then, if they like that fucking tape, then I'm going to fly myself to Atlanta,
yep.
Rent a car, put myself up for the callbacks?
Oh, Jesus. No.
Then come back to L.A., then find out I booked it, but I booked it as a local, so I gotta fly myself
back.
Atlanta again, put myself up, rent a car, work as the bartender 1 day in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Not gonna make the money back at all.
By the time you are done counting your money, paying your agents, your managers, your flights, I mean, it's just...
You're still like $1,000 in the hole.
And the role's not going to do anything to break you out.
Yeah, it's like I want to cast the dude to play the bartender.
Like, I know a lot of actors think that way. A lot of actors are like, hey man, you know, anything, anything. It's like, you know, if your role is bartender and it's literally, you read the sides and you are not a predominant character with any other predominant character, like, it's nice to have a day's work and maybe meet and mingle and try to get your name out there,
but the
role's not going to do much for you.
Do you remember that, like, almost naive excitement, though, for starting out being like, this is going to be it. This two-line gig, this is going to do it. This is a really good show.
I heard that they could bring this character back.
So many characters when I was young. My very first
agent. That's all you ever say.
Oh, dude. Well, my very first agent told me that if they give you a last name, they're absolutely bringing you back. Which I can tell you right now, that's just, no, not true at all. No, my very, very first agent was like, if they give your character a last name, that means they absolutely are bringing you back.
Oh, gosh. I heard everything you could ever imagine. I mean, dude, remember, I mean even Disney, you just think, hey, there's a way. You know what? Maybe Wayne Wormser could get on the cruise ship. And when the boys work at the store, Wayne Wormser's there. I was just like, oh man.
They told me they were bringing back my character from our episode too, and they never did.
It's just like, I think it's the ongoing joke.
Yeah.
I actually got to a point in my career where people say, hey man, it was great working with you. I'm definitely going to work with you again. And I always just smile and shake their hand. Like, I don't... Really? When?
Yeah, can you give me a date for
that?
Hey,
can I get your cell number? We should definitely stay in touch and make sure you follow up with that.
I learned that lesson.
What's your Facebook? You know what? I'm going to just keep you up to date with my new demo reel and headshots, you know, every chance I get.
I learned that lesson in such a hard way. I did. Yep. I did a TV movie a few years back for NBC that was a backdoor pilot, and producer rolls up to set every fucking day talking about how, like, sending these dailies to NBC. They keep going on about how good it is, how much they love it, how much they can't wait to take this to series. And then, like, we wrap, and I get a thank you gift from the producers, and like they sign the card, here's to much, much more, and shit like that. I come home and I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna have a show on NBC. And like, they start talking. I start hearing from the producers, oh, NBC wants to send you guys through the talk show circuit. They want to get you guys on every couch to push this. They're so excited about it, so behind it. Nothing. Nothing. And I got so excited for it. For nothing.
It is just the most overhyped career.
Yeah.
In the world.
You learn not to get excited.
Absolutely. Getting excited, you better be a realist. Hurt. You better be a realist if you're coming out here.
I almost don't even see the downside to being pessimistic about it.
I mean,
like, I'm not gonna do anything with this.
If you can handle that, yeah. I think, you know. I know you know, in this day and age, a lot of people want that super uber positive. Yeah. I have to look at it in more of a positive way, but honestly, I've been in the game long enough. Yeah. You know, I pretty much get it, and I know that there's nothing more I can do than just go to my auditions completely prepared,
mm-hmm.
hit it out of the park, do the best I can at every single audition, no matter if it's in my demographic or not, or, you know, if it's me or, you know, whatever, no matter what, I have to give every single audition 100%.
You gotta
trying to get every job I go on. You know, I take every single audition seriously, even though I'm a comedic actor.
you gotta fire and forget. You know,
absolutely.
You gotta like go in, drop it, and then just not think about it. Like I
find when you try to make sense of this business is when you go crazy.
Exactly.
Like if you sit there and you try to come to terms with yourself, like, you know, oh. Oh, this shirt. Oh, I need to change my hairstyle. Oh, I need to change the. I'm gonna take these acting classes and pay $800 a week to go train with this world class acting coach because, God, I'm just not booking. It's just there's so many reasons you're not booking. It's ridiculous. And
so many reasons that you give to it yourself.
I mean,
I'm a totally logical and realistic person, but when it comes to this gig, I get so superstitious it hurts. Like, I will wear the exact same thing down to the socks if I get a call back.
Right, but every time it's been defeated, but yet you still do it because the times it works, it goes.
When I was a kid.
Oh, God, I hope you're not still wearing children's whitey-tighties, buddy.
I am right now. When I was a kid, I wore the same shirt to every audition because I booked my very first gig in it.
Right. You're a kid.
I still do that.
Okay.
I'll wear the same shirt. Well, not the same shirt I wore when I was a kid. But, like, if I wear a V-neck to an audition and I get a call.
When did you stop wearing the original shirt?
When I was...
Was there a point where someone was like, listen,
that you shirt can't is way pull too that shirt small off anymore, but... Like, look at him, you're 22. Like, no, like, I... Like, even today, like you know, I had those auditions last week. I go in for the pre-read, get the callback, go back for the callback. I'm wearing everything down to the same underwear. Just, like, because I know if I change,
I'm not going to get it because there's some kind of good juju in this shirt. Oh,
if I wear an outfit to the first audition and they call me back, clearly I'm coming back in the exact same outfit you saw me in the first time.
But I'll go down to the underwear and the socks.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
And I won't wash them in between.
You just have to share that. I hope your callbacks are quick.
I'll just Febreze them because I'm like, I can't wash them. It's juju in them. I can't do it.
Is juju slang for stains?
Yes. I got my juju all on the inside of them.
The only superstitious thing I have is, I don't know if it's superstitious, but for just me as an actor, when I go into an audition, I always have to empty out my pockets.
Yes. My keys always go into my bag.
Like, I can't go in there with my phone in my pocket, my wallet, or my keys. I just feel like I'm more into a character when my pockets are empty. And yeah. I don't know why.
When you don't have shit on you to tie you to you.
But, like, every time I walk in the room, I always look at them, I empty my pockets, and set my things on the floor, yeah. And then I walk over and do the audition, walk down, grab my stuff, and walk out, like... I leave them in my bag or something like that.
I've gotten into this weird thing that, like, it frustrates me to no end, but, like, I will only do it with pilots for whatever weird reason. Any other gig, I don't give a shit. But when I read for a pilot, for some reason, from the day I audition to the day if I find out if I booked it or not, I won't have a drink.
Oh, that's good.
It's not like a...
Oh, good for you.
Not even. It's kind of the thing, like, I feel like...
I hope you get more callbacks.
Well, I mean, like, I have calmed down there substantially over the last couple of years, over the last year. But, like, I've got it in my head that, like, I'm up for that show. If I get fucked up, karma's going to be like, no, bitch, you don't get your show. You can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I have, like, a beer in between there and there, just having forgotten... And I don't get it. I'll be like, oh, that's why I didn't get it. I had that beer. Fuck. It's so stupid. Like, I know that's not affecting it one way or the other, but it's in my head.
I went through a phase where I couldn't tell if I wanted to, like, where, like, if I went on an audition, I felt like if I told people about it, then I wouldn't get it. Like I felt weird about telling people about the audition, so I wouldn't tell people what I was going out for.
9 times out of 10, when I go out for something substantial, the only people that ever really know about it are you and my sister.
Yeah.
Like, anyone else, I'm like, nope. Because, like, I feel like anyone else, there could be that little bit of, like, bad vibes they're throwing my way. Like, I fucking hope he doesn't get that shit.
Or, like, but I've noticed bad vibes help.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Because I always send bad vibes at Drake, but he just keeps continuing to climb the charts, man. So I just think that...
Going back to Toronto.
I just think that, like, maybe throwing bad vibes is helping him out somehow. So maybe I should chill out on that.
That's the thing. Like, I was up for a show last year, and I don't know
why I used Drake in that example, by the way.
I don't know why either.
I don't... Man, go for the joke, I guess.
He started for the bottom, now he's here.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost choked on that. That's the one thing you can't... Okay, continue something else.
Oh, like I was up for a show last year, and I told a buddy of mine about it. And I was getting ready to test for it, so I was like, oh, dude, I'm testing for this show, straight to series. This is what I'm going to be paid an episode. Like, I'm going to be so fucking set. And then when I didn't get it, I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't get it. He was like, good. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, good. I'm like, why would you say
why,
good?
Yeah, why say that?
And he said because he would have been jealous about how much money I would have made off it. He's like, I didn't want you to be making more money than I am. So it's like now, like...
He should be your best man one day. I really like this guy. He's a good friend.
I don't even talk to that motherfucker, but like when my dad was alive, I would only tell my dad. My dad, for a long time, was the only person that knew when I even had auditions.
Yeah.
And now it's like... I know sometimes it gets hard when you're excited about it. You want to be like, oh my god, I'm up for this. But, like, the show I read for this week, won't go into details so our listeners have no idea. The only people that know I even read for it are you and my sister.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, my manager and all that. But,
yeah.
Like, I do my best to not.
Sometimes after an audition, if I feel it went well, and, like, I really believe, like, I keep the sides. if I feel like I crushed it, I because
yeah.
I know you. Always
we're talking about me, my giant box of sides.
But sometimes I'll walk in and I'll feel like I did a great job, but I can just feel that I did not click with the casting director. Like the vibe was off. And I just walk out, take the size, and just throw them in the trash. And I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna hear back from this. But then I'll get a call back. And I'm like, oh, that's because I threw the size away. Now I'm gonna throw all my sides away.
Yeah.
And then you don't hear anything. Like, okay, maybe I should start keeping them again. Oh, maybe I should tell my mom I have a call back. No, don't tell my mom. Gus, I told my mom I didn't get it. Like, it's too much. It's too much.
It gets almost.
It's you like, just gotta know the no's are coming. Yeah. I mean, the no's are coming. Just celebrate the yeses. Just celebrate those yeses.
Don't try to justify the no's either. It's never anything you did unless you went in and were like, yeah, fuck this job.
I mean, you know, as an actor, if you put the work in or not.
Yeah.
And you know if you're mailing it in or not. You know if you don't care about the project. I mean, like, you just know, like, For me, every audition I go on, I really give it 100% because I feel like I am the product. Like, yeah. Jerob Duplays...
It's your name at the end of the
day. ...is the product that I'm selling. So every chance I get to sell my product, it's going to be the absolute best. And I also love auditioning because that's my chance to act.
It took me so long to realize that.
So, like that's the one chance that... It might be a small audience, but guess what? There's a camera on you.
And they are captive.
And you have a reader off camera.
Yep.
And you have a small audience, three or four people in there. And you get to have your little day, your little 5 minutes of fame right then and there.
Yep.
And it still feels amazing every time you have a drive on at Universal or Sony. God, and you're just walking through the
feeling
lot.
Feeling like a boss.
Just walking into an audition. It's like, and a good one, 4+ pages. And you have all this, you have it down. You know what movements you're going to do. You're comfortable. You're confident. They wrote it for you, it feels like.
Everything I read for.
Nothing beats it.
Everything I read for, and literally everything I read for, I always hope it shoots on the Universal lot now.
Oh, man.
I need to work on that back lot again so that on my lunch break, I can walk into the park.
Oh, boy.
And find my old supervisor and be like, what's up, bitch? Be like, you want to go back to my trailer? Fuck you.
Oh, boy.
I'm vindictive like that, though.
It sounds like it. You might want to talk to someone about that.
Yeah, probably. I'll talk to him about it.
I mean, I think that's a normal reaction to have, by the way. I mean, I don't know how many people who are working 40 hours a week wouldn't want to go to their bosses and be like, hey, Steven Spielberg just called. I'm guaranteed to make $2 million in the next film. So, shove this broomstick up your ass, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm sure everyone has a boss they wouldn't mind saying that to somewhere.
Do you ever have those auditions where, like, you hate the project so much that even though you're doing your best in the room, you secretly hope you don't get it?
This is how I go on an audition. When I go out for auditions, no matter how great this script is, you know, which, of course, we've done this a long time, it's easy to say that most scripts aren't that great.
A vast majority of them.
I just... Again, take it as that moment of my chance to audition, period. And sometimes I think when the script's really bad, I just look at it as an acting exercise where they're really trying to see who can make this good.
Yeah.
Like, that you're going to have to dig deep on this one. Like when I read sides and I go, oh, God, this is so stupid. I go, I'm going to have to really work on it to make it look believable on this thing.
To make these shitty lines sound
because
like
my
something
job,
a person would say.
My job and what I'm trying to do also is when I get in front of a casting director, I just want to win them over.
Yeah.
Whether I book that job or not, I want that casting director to look at me and go, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. Put his head... I want to be on everyone's short list.
Yes.
I want to be the guy that they call when they're like, hey, they're looking for someone funny, witty, whatever, you know, but bring in sarcastic Jerob Duplays, you know. I want to be on that short list.
I miss those days when, like, we'd skip the pre-reads and go straight to producer and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Those were good times.
I mean, yeah, it was definitely great. But now, for me, since I lost all the weight, I have to reprove myself all over again, which I've been doing. Did it today. Had an audition today where it was one of those, oh, what's this? I wasn't thrilled about it, you know. And
but you were at the other end of that today, though, instead of fat guys. It was
yeah. It was the other side. It was absolute. It said to send in good looking, in shape guys, and I feel like that's me, definitely, for the work I put in. That has to be me.
Every time I
don't look like that quite yet. The Hollywood type.
Yeah.
These guys, Adam, shredded.
Every time I read for, like,
just
football player, it's always a room like that. Like, I know they want big dudes, but I'll go in and be like, I'm the only fat guy here.
These guys look so big and good that you don't see these people in real life anywhere. Like,
no.
I don't know where these people hide all the time. It must be a gym.
Let's say LA Fitness.
I mean, it must be like Equinox. One of the
Equinox.
Real nice ones.
Yeah.
Like, one of the ones that we can't really afford to go to.
Lifetime Fitnesses and shit like that, yeah.
I mean, these guys just look incredible. I'm like, God damn. Oh, no wonder I never book an army movie or a football movie. All the time I watch those, like, Saving Private Ryan type films. You see Vin Diesel out there running around. You see Mark Wahlberg playing the soldier all the time. It looks so awesome. I want to do that so bad.
I had the idea a while back to write, like, little low budget feature that was fat guys having to save the world. It was like, it came down to a group of, like, four fat dudes, and they had to save the world. Just because I wanted to see the fat guys running around with guns and explosions, and at the end, like, none of them get the chick because they're all fat guys and shit like that. It's always dudes like that.
I just want to see a show that really casts legit. Like,
yeah.
Like if you're going to do a high school show, you have to understand, like, it's not going to be the most gorgeous 32-year-olds you've ever seen.
No.
Like, go to a high school. Go to Reseda High.
Go look at what they
look inside
look
the classrooms.
Like. Yeah.
And pull out the six kids that this story's going to follow.
Well, we kind of had that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did. Yeah, on Hard Times, for sure. I mean, there's definitely an attractive girl in every high school.
There were
definitely a loked out strong football player in every high school, for sure.
But I've never seen a fat kid on a scooter that was too lazy to walk.
Well, I saw fat kids on scooters.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I didn't see a lot of actually, that high school was really pretty close to my high school. I mean, I felt like growing up in Florida, I felt like we were all pretty down the earth, normal looking people. Like,
there was a fat dude on a scooter that was too lazy to walk.
Oh yeah,
had snacks in the basket and shit.
Oh yeah,
was he as angry as, like, my character was?
No, no, absolutely no. Jesus,
I miss that character. It was the only character I ever played that didn't require me to move.
Yeah, I wasn't too shabby, right?
Nah, that was a sweet gig.
Sitting down all the time?
I wanted to ride that scooter everywhere. They wouldn't let me, though.
And then they killed you.
And they killed me.
That's kind of cool, being killed.
I did dig it.
Right?
I won't lie. Like, when I went...
always wanted to be killed.
When I went in, I had to go into the MTV offices, the production offices, to get the picture taken for the funeral. That was fun. The closest I'd gotten before that was I did a show where I have a bus roll over me. But somehow I survived that.
Nice.
But I had, like, the scene where I'm, like, laid out in the hospital all fucked up and shit. And then at the end, like, you see me in a wheelchair in the hallway, like, I survived, guys.
Would you ever try one of those reenactment type horror shows? Where
I've,
like,
done one of those.
Yeah?
When I was
What'd you do?
When
Can
I
you
was
say
a kid. Yeah, yeah. It was when I was, like, 12.
Nice.
I did a show called What Should You Do?
Awesome.
That was, like... We're going to put these actors into emergency situations, and then they're going to reenact what you should do if something like this happens. And I was in an episode where my mom was allergic to bees, and she gets stung by a bee, and I had to, like, drive the van and save her and shit like that. And it was...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
They're teaching you how to drive at 12?
Well, she was working, like, it was supposed to be like we were driving when she gets stung. Somehow, while we're in motion, a bee landed on her arm.
Wow.
And stung her. It was some kind of miracle bee.
And then, severe case of allergic.
And she was supposed to, like, pass out in the driver's seat, and I take the wheel and steer it into a curb and shit.
Oh, nice.
But she was working the pedals, and I was just like...
Why didn't you get her to the hospital instead of slamming into a curb?
I have no idea.
Was she wearing a seatbelt this episode?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's... That was fun. That was an interesting day.
If I ever pass out behind the wheel, please don't slam my car into a curb if you're in the passenger seat, Adam.
No. I'll guide it to the nearest.
Yeah, guide ER. It. Yeah, slide, put it in park. Right. Pull the e-brake.
Right? Why didn't my character do that? Why did he take it into a curb?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'd be so mad at you. I'd be like, you'd be like, how are you? I'd be like, well, I'm bad because this bee bit me so damn bad that I passed out. So you take me to the hospital. Two, how much is that going to fucking cost me? The full front fender smashed in. The rims are bent.
I couldn't find the e-brake, so I just put it into 22s. A fire hydrant.
Oh, you put it into a fire hydrant. Oh, great. The hood's bent. Oh, great.
I put it into this tree. It was
the airbag blasted me, broke my nose. You'll That's okay. why I came too from the bee sting.
Walk it off. You're fine.
Thank you for saving me. Is that what you're asking me? Don't you Thank dare you ask me.
Question mark?
Yeah. Dude, I just saved you, bro. You passed out behind the wheel. I could have let you die, bro.
I just drove your car into a fucking tree. You're fine.
Maybe we should shoot this skit.
I like that idea, yeah.
You can't be mad at me, I'm saving you.
I just saved your fucking life. Don't worry about the front end of your car that's now missing.
I'm just saying, there was a whole open field right there, and it cut to a giant open baseball field that you so easily could have pulled off, like a giant parking lot.
The block wall was closer.
Oh. Well, at least let's split this. I'm not splitting this with you.
You should be paying me. I saved your life.
I would have come too by the time we got to that red light up there. How do you know? You don't know that.
You're not a doctor. You don't know these things. And then Seth and David had their big news today.
Wow.
Seth in particular had a great fucking morning.
I think Seth has had a great fucking morning for a long time.
True. But I mean, here's the reins to the Flash movie. Welcome to the DC Cinematic Universe.
Well, that's awesome.
That's incredible.
That is so awesome.
Like, as happy as I was for them to see the announcement of their show for NBC, seeing, like, literally 20 minutes later, Seth Graham Smith tapped to direct The Flash.
I mean, huge.
I will call him up and suck his dick for
a while. Whoa, come on, buddy. Come on, man. You cannot say that.
Why not? I would.
What if Seth hears this?
I would hope he takes me up on the offer.
Adam, that's disgusting. You guys know each other. He knows you.
But it's The Flash.
You want to be The Flash?
No, they've already cast The Flash.
I'm like...
I would happily be the guy, like, Barry Allen's co-worker.
Who is The Flash?
Ezra Miller. He's, I think, a South African actor. They cast him back when they cast Affleck. They actually cast him before Affleck, I think.
Is Affleck in this?
No, but this is going to be part of DC's big movie universe that they're starting with Batman versus Superman. And I think The Flash actually comes out after they do their Justice League movie. So this will all be part of their big...
Yeah. The same thing that Marvel did.
Yeah. But actually in reverse, because they're doing the big team-up movie first. And then they're going to do the individual standalone movies.
You think DC sat back and watched Marvel back those trucks up with all the money?
Pretty much.
And
everyone.
They were like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's bring back everyone, too.
Totally. Well, I mean, like every fucking studio has been doing that now. Like, they're doing this new King Kong movie, and they're supposed to be doing a sequel to Godzilla. So now they're saying, all right, eventually Godzilla and King Kong are going to share a universe, and the two of them are going to fight.
That's already happened, right?
I think so.
Like, back in the old days?
Yeah. But then now they're saying, you know, they're talking about doing a sequel to Pacific Rim, and they're all under the same studio canopy. They're saying, all right, Pacific Rim, Godzilla, and King Kong, shared universe. So you have giant robots fighting a giant lizard who's fighting a giant monkey.
Wow. And it sounds like the movies are about to get really big.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, like, even Universal.
And, of course, that will be in 3D.
Yeah.
At
IMAX.
IMAX theater.
$20 a ticket.
Surround sound blasting through your ears.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, like,
while robots fight in space.
Universal did, a couple years ago, they did that Dracula Untold movie.
Again.
They slapped a post-credit scene on it after they shot it to establish a shared universe. They want to reboot all the classic monsters. They want to do Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, and the Invisible Man. And they want to do a big monster team-up movie where the monsters come together to do monster shits. It's like everyone wants to do what Marvel did.
Everything that you just said, all the characters you just named, they'll be making movies about those guys your entire life.
Yep.
Your kids' entire life.
Their kids' entire life.
It's going to go until the world comes to an end.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be Superman forever.
Yep.
Spider-Man forever.
As long as they keep making
money. They just
money.
Come out more frequent now, I guess, right? They're just more frequent with it. Which, again, how many superhero movies can you name and how many have you been in?
None.
Hey, come on!
There's a superhero movie coming out every year until, I think, 2022.
We gotta get on one of these.
Seth. We gotta call him up and be like, hey, Adam will suck your dick for a part in The Flash.
I refuse to say anything about that.
I'm gonna hit him on Twitter and be like, hey, Kevin Stern will suck your dick for a part in The Flash.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'd be in the world of the Justice League. I would die happy, man.
Oh my god.
Even to be the, like, lab tech working with The Flash. It was just like,
see,
I think we have a problem here, Flash.
See,
oh my god.
I couldn't see, but like, I think what's the problem I'm having here is that we actually know Seth. I think that's the hard part for me, is putting this whole thing together is really weird and creepy for me, because like if you were to say, hey, I would blow, oh gosh, Gus Van Sant for a role. Like, I don't know,
is he doing a DC movie?
Oh, I'm sure. But like, or okay, here, Kevin Smith. If you were to blow
Kevin Smith's dick recreationally.
We might need to talk after this at some point.
I love him. He's my idol. He's my idol.
Jack Black is my idol, and I don't want to blow him.
If Kevin Smith was like, hey, man, suck my dick, I'd be like, all right.
No! What? No! If Jack Black said, hey, man, excuse me, if Jack Black said, hey, man, suck my dick, dude.
Oh,
I would punch him right in the mouth.
Fuck you, you'd suck his dick.
I would punch him in the face.
Oh, I would suck his dick.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Gee, Adam, that's the third guy you said you'd blow in this night. But anyway,
it's a short list at least. At least I'm not.
You're batting 100%. Every guy I've listed, you said you'd blow.
Name another guy. I'll tell you if I blow him or not.
No, because you'll say yes and you'll be up to four guys.
I might not.
Adam, if you would blow those guys, any guy I list next, you will definitely
blow. No, because those are people that are like, Kevin Smith and JB are people I look up to. Seth is a dude I knew doing a movie I want to be in more than life itself.
You can't blow guys you know. That's my point.
I don't know Kevin
weird.
Smith or JB.
But you do know Seth.
Hopefully Seth would be like, hey, it's cool. You don't need to suck my dick. You can just be in The Flash.
No. Now that you put it out there, Seth's the kind of guy who's going to make you pony up for this shit.
All right.
On principle. What do you mean, all right?
I would have conditions. I have to encounter the Flash and the villain at some point, and I want the villain to kill me.
Oh, my God. That might be a rim job.
It would depend on the villain.
Oh, my gosh.
And what I'm doing with the Flash.
I couldn't do it, man. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm pumped. I am so excited for them. And
yeah.
And also, not only is he directing The Flash, but David and Seth collaborated again, and they put together a television show that they're going to be shooting for, I think, NBC
or
something
NBC.
Like that.
Is it a pilot or is it straight to series?
I want to say pilot. They're going to be shooting the pilot. I think they just greenlit it.
Yeah.
Greenlit to
shoot. Do you remember what it was called?
I don't. We can look it up.
It reminded me of Hard Times.
But I know there's 9 posts on my Facebook about
it. How I Became Uncool.
Right.
It reminded me of the Uncool Like You campaign buttons.
And it looks like guys who are older.
It yeah.
sounds like... The, yeah. You know, I saw one place, it's like about people going from like Pabst to Pinot.
Yeah. It that kind of gave me a bit of hope.
That yeah, me too.
I'm
me
like,
too.
We've aged to that.
Oh, buddy. I got hit up so many times today
Ditto.
About this.
Ditto.
You would think I sold a series.
Yeah. Well, it's like a few of my friends and like my sister saw, you know, so-and-so from Hard Times. They were like, didn't
right.
you... Was this the guy that made your show? Your guys' show? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stare at my phone.
Yeah. You know, I was hit up a lot today about it. Like I said, you know, a lot of posts on my Facebook about it. And obviously, I'm over the moon for the boys.
It's fucking killing
you know,
for them. And like,
I sent them a text.
Yeah.
Congrats, obviously.
I mean,
and,
Seth.
You know, obviously, 2 seasons, 24 episodes.
Yeah.
We had a great relationship. Hopefully, I fit something that's right for this. And they just get a shot to work with them again. That's all you can ask for, you know?
I mean,
these guys are...
It's the kind of thing, like, I'm really excited for them, and I'm happy for them, but it's not surprising.
No, how could it be?
Yeah, especially the career Seth's had since the show.
Dude, when they were on the show, at no point were you thinking, this will be it for them. Like, come on! David Katzenberg,
yeah.
Seth Graham Smith... These guys have been writing and working their asses off every single day. Dude, these are the two busiest guys in the world. And in during the time, Seth had 2 kids.
Well, Seth is supposed to be writing Beetlejuice 2, still, too. They're still talking about that with him.
Right.
Because he did...
I think he
movie?
Did write it.
He did Dark Shadows.
Right, but I think he did write Beetlejuice 2 or something like that.
I'm down for Beetlejuice 2, too. I would see that. Just kind of nostalgia. I mean, they had a killer morning. It was the kind of morning that it's like, you look at the shit they're doing, and then it's like, I'm going to record the podcast tonight.
I always wonder if they had to have known about it. Like, they had to have known about it for a while, right? They just announced it today? Or do you think they called today and said, hey, we're greenlighting this, and we're publishing it right now?
Oh, no. I mean, they had to have known about it for at least a few days, and especially... Seth in the Flash. They had to have been talking to him about it.
There had to
have
been negotiations back and forth, agents and meetings,
especially
and talks.
Because they need him to fit his Flash movie into the overall universe that Zack Snyder's creating.
And you also have to understand that these guys are auditioning just like we are. You know, they're not. I mean, it's Flash the movie.
Yeah.
I bet you they met with tons of directors,
yep.
sat down with tons of guys,
yep.
and
what can you bring to this?
I mean, I'm sure budget's not going to be a problem. They can have any director they want.
It's like it's being written by one of the dudes that did the Lego movie, and for a while they were expecting him to direct it, and then they announced Seth today, which then Seth, I think, just wrote the Lego Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gonna have. A substantial...
This guy never stops working, man.
I mean,
these guys are just...
Now that
nose
he's
to the grindstone.
In the fold with Warner Brothers and DC on the ground floor for their big shared universe, I wouldn't be surprised if once The Flash makes $500 million, if it's Seth Graham Smith tapped to write and direct Flash 2 and 3.
Oh, well,
like
of course. I mean, dude, I'm sure their contracts look like ours, where they're like...
Yeah.
We own you.
They're not just handing him one movie. They're handing him a franchise.
Right, right. A possible franchise.
Yeah.
If the first one does well enough, it's a possible franchise, you know? I'm sure.
I'm sure it will.
And I'm sure they have first refusal. The studio will be like, you know, we get you for a 3-picture deal. If the first movie makes this, then, you know, we're going to do this. And, you know, I'm sure all that's negotiated.
He's going to be in DC's camp for a hot minute, especially if they end up franchising both of them.
Mm.
As successful as the Lego movie was, the Lego Batman movie is going to make a fuckload of money, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I think...
Batman was my favorite character from the movie.
Oh, yeah. Will Arnett is... He's coming back to play the voice of Batman for the cartoon, too.
Ah, perfect.
But, I mean, like, if... I think it'll all go back to Batman versus Superman. How much the rest of the movies in the DC Cinematic Universe are going to make is going to be based on how much that one makes.
Well, it's been the number one conversation since I was a kid.
Yeah. If that movie's a giant hit, which I have no problem seeing that movie crack a billion in its opening weekend, then the rest of them are going to be giant fucking hits, too. And he will have a giant franchise to helm with The Flash.
Is it really Batman versus Superman, or is it just Superman versus Kryptonite? Let's just be honest. It's really Superman versus Kryptonite.
I don't know. They're supposed to be introducing Kryptonite in this one, but I don't know how they're going to do it.
They're going to do it as it's the only way to stop Superman.
Well, because...
there's no way Bruce Wayne, a human, can beat him toe-to-toe.
He could.
Get the fuck out of here.
He could.
Adam, a human...
yeah.
Cannot beat a superhuman demigod.
Without Kryptonite? Is Kryptonite the only thing he's missing? Yes. He could do it.
He couldn't.
Red sun particles.
That, what?
Red sunlight negates his powers completely.
Red sunlight particles.
Yeah. There's a run of the comic book where him and Superman are fighting, and he's got brass knuckles that he had the Atom collect matter from red suns, so they look like little red bulbs on his knuckles, but it's red sunlight. So when he hits him, it makes him vulnerable in the spot that he hit him, so he actually can punch him. And then there was...
so you should have given those to, like, Floyd Mayweather.
Probably. No, he's fought him without Kryptonite before.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'm sure in the storybooks they all sound great, but...
yeah.
A man who can stop a locomotive... and can turn back time by flying the opposite direction of the Earth is not going to get bested by anybody on their best days without those weapons.
I could get so uber nerd on you talking about him rotating the Earth to turn back time.
I'm going
to
put you in an Uber right now.
Because they've like, there people online have broken it down like, well, he actually wasn't turning back time. He was slowing the Earth's rotation. Like,
oh God, yeah, I can't handle too deep of conversations about these things. My girlfriend is a giant Uber Star Wars,
right on.
Star Wars nerd.
That's a franchise I would kill to get into.
And I'm like, she's like, did you like the movies? I'm like, well, of course, yeah, they're great movies. Yeah, of course I love Star Wars. Oh man, I just love, and then we'll go so deep into it. And I'm like, I don't know any character names outside of your leads.
I had a friend.
I don't know who Jabba's right hand man was, or the pit boss's monster, or the name of the guys in the band in Jabba's lair, or whatever.
I had a friend a couple months ago read for episode 8 and not get it.
At least they got to read for it.
Wow, I want to read. To even just read for one of those parts. Like, it was this chick I knew who hadn't even seen the original trilogy. It's like she comes over to borrow my DVDs, but couldn't give me the sides to look at. I was like, bitch, I'm giving you the history. Let me read these sides. And she's like, I've already signed my NDA. I'm like, I don't give a shit about your NDA.
Someone actually cared about that NDA. I'm right? Joking. I'm joking. I take it very serious.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna go to bed, buddy.
Alright, mate. This was In Development 104.
Yes, and hey guys, listen. We're getting all the questions, we appreciate it, and I think on the next week's episode we might address some of the questions that we got.
I'm down for that. Yeah, some of the actors, yeah, for sure.
The people that have sent us messages.
Some of them might be in Spanish. We've got a very, very substantial following in Mexico right now for some weird reason.
Thank God.
I wonder if they understand what we're saying.
Hey, we might need to go down there and thank those people.
Live tour. In Development and TJ.
Good night.
Have a good one, people.